You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and if you have ever heard the name Visual Snow Syndrome and were intrigued as to what it may be, well, today we will provide you with hopefully some information, as I'm joined by Dr. Sui Wong, who is a consultant neurologist and neuro-ophthalmologist at Moorfields Eye Hospital. Dr. Sui Wong, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's such a privilege to be here.
So let's begin with talking about what is the visual snow syndrome.
So visual snow syndrome is a relatively newly recognized condition. It's a condition where people get a lot of disturbance in the vision. As the name suggests, there is the component called snow or in the vision. So snow as in, like, if you look through a snow globe that's been really shaken up, or looking through a snowstorm, or a very common way people think about it, it's like the out-of-tune analog television, or even what we call, some people call it like noise, inverted commas. They say, oh, I see noise in my vision. It's because of that kind of static interruption effect. So that's across the whole of their field of vision. So there is, that is one part of it, and it's constantly present. And there are other visual symptoms that come along with it. And these could be what we call after images. When somebody looks at something, they look away, it still persists in their vision, and it can be very intrusive. It could be trailing of images. So when, for example, if something moves, they see a tail behind it, ghosting of images, and you know, excessive floaters, flashes, or lights in your vision. And these symptoms can be very intrusive and troublesome for the people suffering from it. They can also get other non-visual symptoms. And this could be, for example, very bad persistent tinnitus, feelings of depersonalization, sometimes other sensory disturbance of the body.
So in terms of research into the syndrome, what research is being done to either find out more about it or find treatment to manage or cure the syndrome?
Yes, I must say that I have been so grateful and impressed by the hard work by my colleagues in this field, because it is their work over the past few years that has really highlighted this condition to the public and also the medical community. The first wave of research was about describing it. Over the years, in my field, in my type of work, what we call neuro-ophthalmology, where people may get disturbances in the vision, but nothing physically is found on eye examination, we do hear about this kind of description for a long time now, but it's only with the work of my colleagues who started to be systematically collecting data to describe it and to show how frequently this occurs and really taking it to the public domain. And that is the first wave of research, which is really important. And then there is the next steps, which has been enlightening. My colleagues have been doing work such as looking at the brain connections, the brain pathways, how it's changing. And this sort of thing. One of the things that I am also working on is to improve our understanding on treatments moving forward for visual snow syndrome. So as we move forward, I'm hoping to work with more colleagues to deliver more research on treatments of visual snow syndrome. So if people wanted to reach out to us, they could reach out through to my research administrative team, looking at, so the email is research@mbct-vision.co.uk.
Are we at a stage where the syndrome can be managed or cured?
It's a very early stage, I would say, in terms of the research into this. And it is only up until very recently, and actually, in fact, it's still the case where when people have a diagnosis of visual snow, they are often told that there's nothing that could be done for it. There has been various medications that's been used, various medications, for example, for epilepsy type conditions, but the data is very mixed. It's generally considered to be ineffective. and there isn't high quality research trials for treatment. I'm so grateful to say that I've had the opportunity to deliver research using mindfulness brain training to reset the brain pathways. As I mentioned, the problem is to do with dysregulation of the brain network, kind of like a software glitch, so to speak. And the use of the mindfulness brain training is to reset the brain pathways.
Now, if any of our listeners who might be hearing this think they might have visual snow syndrome, or in fact, some people who may have been diagnosed might be listening, where can they go to either potentially get diagnosed or get more information?
I would say the first thing, if somebody suspects that they may have it, the first thing they need to do is they need to actually get examined. It could be first with the opticians, or if they have direct access to an eye specialist, for example, that would be important because there are other eye conditions that could mimic the symptoms of visual snow. And that's the first important step to take. There are also other neurological conditions that could mimic visual snow, which is why it's helpful if, for somebody to get a specialist opinion with a neurologist, for example, if they have a confirmation that it's not an eye issue. And once they have the diagnosis, there are a few things that they could do. My research work has been funded by a visual snow charity, so that's the thing I have to state clearly. And that charity has been doing a lot of advocacy work and a lot of work to support people with visual snow. So that name of the char the name of that charity is Visual Snow Initiative. And so a lot of people with this, they tell me when I meet them for the first time that they realized that they had visual snow syndrome was because they Googled their symptoms and they came to the Visual Snow Initiative website, and that's when they realized that what was described there fitted completely with their symptoms, and then they ended up coming to me for a medical opinion for their eye tests and their checks. So those would be some of the useful things. There are also other very good charities out there to support people with visual snow specifically. That's worth for them to look for other good charities with information out there. The other thing to do would be to consider what could be the triggers. Some people I've come across, they may not have noticed any triggers. That's fair enough. For some people, they may have noticed that it could have been a period of very severe sleep deprivation, for example, or other significant events that triggered it. And therefore, I think for them to speak with their healthcare professional, so in the UK, it could be their GP, for them to talk through what could be helped with the thing that could have triggered this in the first place.
That is excellent. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Sui Wong, consultant neurologist and neuro-ophthalmologist at Moorfields Eye Hospital, for coming on and telling us more about visual snow syndrome here on RNIB Connect Radio.